Hi, welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. Today we're going to be talking about this book, A Living Art, The Inspired Lives of 14 Malaysian Artists and Their Practice. I'm going to be speaking to the author, Amelia Ong, as well as Noor Mahnoon Mohammed, or better known as Anu. She's a fine artist. She paints, I think is the way. Okay, we're talking about, you know, whether artists are articulate or not, and I do know these days, especially with artists coming through the academic studies, they're very, very inclined to use social theory, philosophy to describe their work. And did you find that in the 14 that you chose? Or is there sort of a generational issue when it comes to the artists that you chose here in this book?
Well, for instance, I think Professor Hasnul Saidon from Penang, because of his background as an academic as well as an artist, so he would a lot of times discuss more philosophical issues, yeah, definitely. And so most of the artists, I think, who have an academic background tend to do that.
Right, so they already have a rich vocabulary in terms of what's been written about art and in art criticism and such, right?
Yes.
But what about the artist who's much more kind of, I don't know, what is the word to use? Is it naive or much more kind of direct and immediate in their relationship to their art?
That introvert.
That always isn't mediated by theory, that isn't mediated by, you know, the world, the art world and art world speak. You know, I mean, Anam, you've always struck me as somebody who's very, very kind of like immediate in your response to things around you. Have you felt it necessary to find a kind of vocabulary that fits the new kind of, you know, the high theory and the, you know, the way in which the art world might revolve at certain levels?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I consider myself old school. I mean, I could relate or find affinity with like the Renaissance artists. In fact, my paper for my master's was about Leon Alberti, basically, about like hip artists. I mean, I have no idea.
Well, okay, but you know, which not to say that, you know, there's the generation you mentioned, Reza Piyadasa, who's also very theoretical, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in his approach to think, and conceptual art is here in some sense. Tell us a little bit, Amelia, about the artists you chose and why you chose them, 14 altogether.
Okay, I started out with Anum and Elias. I think those two were the foremost in my mind, mainly because I had been friends with them for a long time. I knew that they would be okay for me to being open about their work and being accessible, you know. So with those two, I was also interested then in, personally, I was fascinated with Sharon Chin's work and also with Hasnul's work. And then from that sort of four names, it just grew organically. And it was quite an intuitive process where I relied on these four artists to sort of also recommend other names that they think are very interesting. But in my mind, I had sort of like a mental list of the kind of media I wanted to include. For instance, like art activism or sculpture or printmaking or, you know, so have a variety in the
artists. You wanted some diversity in the thing. And it comes back to a word that, you know, Dolores Wharton uses in describing that initial invitation that you had to her to write the foreword, and you call it a coffee table book. And I thought it was quite interesting because it's there. And I wonder, is this a coffee table book?
I think it's grown into something much more than a coffee table book. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, because it is beautifully designed, and I must say, the pictures, that have take a look at some of the images, and we'll share that on screen. They are actually, especially of the space of the artist's use, I think, very telling. And because there we have Issei, because the late Issei, there in your book. I do want to ask you, if Anum, do you think a young person wanting to get into art and wanting to take practice up as a profession, take it seriously, do you think this book might be useful for them?
Of course, because I still do it even though I'm not young. Look at other artists' studios, like on YouTube, there's several videos. I find it somehow more interesting when I see the studio of the artist. Also because I kind of look for things like, oh, what kind of studio furniture they use and things like that. In fact, I was telling Amelia today, Amy Sheeran, the lady who painted Michelle Obama, So in her studio, she had this trolley, I think from IKEA. Or am I plugging IKEA?
It's okay.
Anyway, when I saw it, I said, exactly, that's what I needed. So, hey, now.
So you're looking for ideas as well?
Ideas of the studio setup and things. Also technically, I mean, like you see the paint and how they lay out their paints and things like that. I mean, those kind of things you don't learn at school, basically.
And so, it's a personal, practice is a kind of personal thing, right, Jenny? But tell us, Amelia, you know, did you want this to be a book where young people or young artists or maybe people already in the field might model themselves or seek to kind of reflect on their own practice by looking at what others were doing?
Yes, I think I wanted them to see the diversity, that there is in fact no one right way of doing this.
Correct.
And that if you look at it, you'll find that every artist, they have their own way. Yeah.
Okay. But and it comes back to the question of demystification. Was the expression you used, what is it that you think is the mystique of the artist that you needed to kind of deconstruct or unravel?
I think it's the fact that a lot of people feel that and this artist is like a different sort of creature. We can't understand them, you know, they're a little bit crazy, they're a little
mad
bit...
Mad artist.
Yeah,
mad artist, perhaps there's a little bit of magic in it. It might not even conform to our ideas of what work is. I mean, I think artists probably have to deal with the fact that a lot of people think that's not really, it's not real work. Oh, you're an artist, how sweet. And do you, Anum, as a woman, have to deal with the perceptions, public perceptions of what artists are, what they do, the value they bring, you know, whether this is a hobby, you know, oh yes, you know, it's kind of a, for the ladies, you know, kind of like if they're bored at home, they should take up watercoloring. How do you, have you found that, experienced that?
Yes, but I'm at the age where I don't really care anymore about what other people.
But when you were younger, is that something that you had to encounter or you had to engage with?
Yes. And no, I mean, I remember because I was doing my master's, blah, 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 and at that time I was married. And my husband, ex-husband, expected me when I finished my studies to work with him in his architectural office instead of setting up my own studio. And I think that's one of the reasons why we separated.
Because you weren't doing real work?
Because
as an artist?
Yeah, so basically he doesn't take me seriously as an artist, I guess.
Do you think, Amelia, that artists still, in Malaysia at least, struggle with that, that their work is not valued by society generally as serious, of consequence, and ultimately, you know, something that they might encourage their children to pursue?
I think in general, I would say yes, there is still, people don't still regard it as a sort of serious work, or a serious way of living. I mean, it's such a meaningful way of living.
Okay, we'll take another short break and we'll be back. We're talking about this book, Living Art. Stay tuned to Let's Talk.